Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, movie truthers. Welcome to this week's episode of Truth and Movies. I'm Michael Leader.
And I'm Hannah Strong.
And today we'll be talking about the London Film Festival, which starts this week on the 6th and runs for the next week and a half. We'll be talking about our picks from the festival before it starts. All coming up on Truth and Movies, a Little White Lies podcast. Yes, welcome back, listeners, and welcome back, Hannah. Hannah, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm well rested, ready to get into London Film Festival. Very excited it's back in person this year after going digital last year. And we seem to be doing okay COVID-wise. I don't know. I say that very tentatively, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I feel kind of positive, excited. I'll get to see some of my friends and see some good movies and happy to be here on this surprisingly sunny Tuesday on this Tuesday afternoon, chatting about some of the things that I hope people make time to go and see.
Well, before we get into recommendations, you have some fancy responsibilities at the LFF this year, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be asked to be on the jury for the first feature competition, the Sutherland Jury, I believe it's called, and it's my first kind of big jury, very exciting, very kind of overwhelming. I'm not even the youngest person on the jury, which was a real like slap in the face to me. I was very like, I thought I was going to be the hot young thing, but no, there's someone who's younger than me. But yeah, Isabel Sandoval is heading it up, and Prano Bailey Bond is also on the jury. So it's going to be a fun one, I think. Very excited to kind of get in there. There's a lot of films I haven't seen on the festival circuit that I'm kind of excited to discover, because usually when you spend your whole year seeing films at festivals, it gets to the awards this time of year and you've seen most of the things, so it's quite nice to actually have an opportunity to kind of discover things. So anyone listening who's going to be around LFF will probably see me at some point looking quite like a bit draggled and flustered, but yeah, come and say hi if you see me at all. I always love kind of meeting people.
Bit draggled and flustered, but surely high on films. And Hannah, that's very exciting. Very excited for you. And hope to hear more about your jury experience later in the festival or afterwards. But first, let's talk about some of our recommendations for the festival. Of course, it's the London Film Festival, but there's a great small selection that's also playing at cinemas around the country as well. Where should we start first, Hannah?
Yeah, I think maybe we'll start with a couple that people can catch around the UK. It's for the past few years that LFF have been doing this kind of program with local cinemas across the country where they show a select number of titles for like kind of either one night only or a few screenings. So the first I'd like to recommend is, I'm going to absolutely butcher his name, and I really apologise in advance. But Ryosuke Hamaguchi's Drive My Car, which played at Cannes. I believe we may have recommended it in one of our Cannes podcasts. Not sure if we did or not, but it's wonderful. And it's actually the second or the first of two of his films, which are playing. The other is Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy. I haven't seen that. I'm looking forward to watching it during the festival. But yeah, Drive My Car was a real kind of revelation for me. I didn't really know very much going in. I'd read the short story it's based on by Murakami, which is only a couple of pages, and it's about a kind of aging director slash actor in his younger years who takes on a gig doing a adaptation of Uncle Vanya in a small town, and he kind of meets this woman who acts as his chauffeur during the production, and it kind of, yeah, it's like I mean anyone that's familiar with Murakami will know his kind of very meditative pace, and it's about this man being driven around in a car, but it's obviously about a lot more than that. And the film, which is 3 hours, kind of expands this short story out in a similar way to Lee Chang-dong's Burning, which kind of did a similar thing, but obviously a very different tone. And I just thought it was a really kind of beautiful film about acting, beautiful film about the kind of nature of relationships, and I was very taken with it. And I definitely recommend people see it in the cinema, because it is one of those films that your attention could kind of drift if you try and watch it at home, where there's just so many distractions. This is one that I think you really benefit from, kind of being in the dark alone with your thoughts. And it's really beautiful, and I'm really glad they're kind of showing that all over the UK, because I think it deserves a kind of bigger platform.
Absolutely. I love Hamaguchi's films. I've seen Happy Hour and Osaka 1 and 2, and they were two films that maybe did the festival circuit but didn't get very wide releases. It doesn't help, of course, that his films tend to be very long, quite hard to slip into cinema programmes. I also love a Beatles reference in my film titles, and I'm going to presume that Drive My Car is one of those.
It is.
Literal reference.
Yeah, I mean, we know Murakami and his Beatles references. He's a big fan of dropping them in there. I don't think it actually comes up in the film, or the story for that matter, but there is a lot of car driving. You know, it's not a title that is metaphorical. There's a lot of car driving. But yeah, it's one of those films that I think people joke about, kind of like seeing it on the festival circuit and being like, oh, you must see the new Hamaguchi. But it is genuinely really great. And if you watch any kind of interviews with him, he's such a kind of earnest and like very honest director. Really, like, he just seems like someone who totally loves what he does, and is very, to say his films are so kind of poetic, they could be seen as, like, you know, when you go to see a film at the BFI and it's like it's just you and like the kind of people who make the trip from like Knightsbridge or somewhere, or Highbury, and it's, you know, it's all a bit pretentious. But he is someone who seems so completely free of pretense, and I can't really recommend it enough. I think it is also a really great route into kind of modern Japanese cinema if you're maybe not as familiar. So I would highly recommend. I think it's very accessible, and for anyone who's kind of interested in the craft of acting, I think it's a really something we haven't really maybe seen before. But maybe I'm just saying that because I love films about acting. I think it's one of my kind of favorite niche subgenres.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, I'm already sold on Drive My Car, but that's such a strong recommendation, Hannah. Thank you. Where should we go next? What film do you have on your list of recommendations next?
I feel like I'm taking us across the world with these recommendations, because purely by coincidence, I've ended up choosing three features, not in the English language. But the second is The Worst Person in the World.
Very relatable for some of us.
It's such a good title. It's not called that in the original language. It's called Julie, A Life in 13 Chapters, I think, which is, it's not as good. It's just not as good of a title. But yeah, so this is a Joachim Trier film, kind of big fans of Little White Lies. And he made, his last film was kind of a thriller, Thelma, but this is very much going back to his kind of Oslo, 31st of August type drama about relationships and kind of people. And this was actually the first of his films I saw. I came very late to the game and I totally fell for this film in Cannes. Anyone that's read my review from Cannes will know I can't kind of get enough of this film. I'm to the extent they're not showing it to the press at LFF for some reason, to the extent I'm trying to get a ticket to go and see the public screening because I want to see it again so desperately. I think it's a beautiful film. And giving a quick kind of rundown for those who might not be familiar, it is a film about a young woman called Julie, and it is comprised of 13 chapters of her life and follows her just getting through all these struggles that you kind of face as a young adult, particularly with dating and her relationship with her mother and father. And I just thought it was so perfectly pitched in terms of humour and drama. It really does, it's such a kind of cliche to say it, but it really does walk that kind of fine line between the two. And it has this incredible lead performance from Renata Rensver, I believe it's pronounced like that. I struggle a lot with with names in general. This incredible lead performance from her, which won her the Best Actress Prize at Cannes, very well deserved, in a kind of a stacked year as well. And also features the always wonderful Anders Danielsson-Lai, who also is in the festival with Bergman Island, which again can't recommend enough. I feel like I'm just recommending the whole program, but it is a particularly good year for LFF. But yeah, it's a film that articulates what it means to kind of be in your 20s and 30s right now in 2021 in a way that doesn't feel kind of cringy or like it's trying too hard. I think there's been a lot of recent kind of media, Netflix specials and Amazon. I'm thinking of like New York Times Modern Love series, which just, they just kind of give me the ick. And I'm using the word genuine a lot, but it feels very genuine and very authentic and incredibly funny. There are some real like laugh out loud moments, and yeah, I just really, really loved it. You don't have to be familiar with Joachim Trier's work to kind of appreciate it, but I think it definitely made me kind of go away wanting to watch all of his other things. I was so, so taken with this film. It's definitely, if not the best thing I've seen this year, like up there, which is quite a strong recommendation because I've seen so many good films this year.
So the worst is the best in this case.
It is. It really is.
Oh, fantastic. I know you're slipping in a lot of micro recommendations into all of these blurbs, but what's your final big recommendation from the programme?
So this is another one that's going to be showing across the UK. And it, again, was at Cannes. I've picked three films from Cannes. I promise there are films that weren't at Cannes that are really good as well. But it is Paris, 13th District by Jacques Audier. And again, in a way, it's kind of similar to Worst Person in the World, because I think it really does capture something about what it is to be young and kind of struggling at this very specific point in time. I think it's one of those films where people will look back on it and think it is a really good summation. We talk about like Obama cinema and Trump cinema. This is like, I feel like it's a really good illustration of what it's like to kind of be a young person in Paris at this very specific moment in time. And again, very much like Worst Person in the World, it has a really amazing performance from a newcomer, Lucy Zhang. She's amazing. She's just so kind of magnetic and messy and often very unsympathetic, but you really do, you feel for her and you kind of are rooting for her, even though she is also the worst person in the world at times. I think it's kind of unusual for Audiard. I think he can be a little bit self-serious. I'm thinking of like Rust and Bone, which I really hated. And then, you know, he's moved on to things like The Sisters Brothers, which I think is so tonally different from something like this, which is a real kind of a romantic comedy. And I really was surprised by this. It's not one that I think people were kind of hotly tipping at Cannes. I think it's one that kind of snuck up on everyone, but yeah, really, really wonderful, amazing soundtrack. It's kind of like electro techno score, which normally I wouldn't be into, but I think it works kind of really well, and it makes Paris look just like stunning. It's this very moody black and white cinematography, and it really kind of made me yearn to kind of go over there and be glowered at by a load of Parisians again.
That's one of the few films that I have seen in the programme, and yeah, I can echo that recommendation. It's also one for people who saw Portrait of a Lady on Fire and want to see more of Noémie Merlant, maybe.
Yes!
This is one to go for. She gives another great performance as someone who at times is also one of the worst people in the world.
Yeah, and a really different performance as well from Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I was very glad to see her kind of not getting typecast as this very thoughtful, like kind of artist character. She's very, very messy in Paris 13th District, but in a very sweet way. It's an incredibly sweet film, and I think a really interesting adaptation of a French graphic novel, I want to say.
No, they're American.
Even more interesting then. That's just me totally butchering my my facts, sorry everyone. People are used to it now on the podcast. But yeah, I was really kind of surprised because I don't think it feels like the kind of things we're used to. I'm thinking of like the Ghost Worlds and the Wilsons and, you know, the Daniel Clowes adaptations. It feels very organic and very kind of, you would never know that it's adapted from this source material. Not that, and that sounds like a diss on graphic novels, which I don't mean it to at all. I just mean that it's really interesting to see such a kind of different spin on it, and I think it works really well. It's really great, and from by all accounts, our friend Sophie Marks Kaufman interviewed Jack at Cannes and said he was delightful, really a hoot. So it makes me kind of happy to support the film, knowing that he's a nice guy as well. And this is going to be one that's showing across the UK as well. So definitely try and get a ticket for that if you can.
Fantastic. So that's Drive My Car, The Worst Person in the World, Paris 13th District, all screening in the London Film Festival and as part of the selection that's going round the country. I'm sure you can find details of that at bfi.org.uk/LFF. Hannah, before we wrap up, I want to make a quick shout out to Belle, the Japanese anime film by Mamoru Hosoda, who's had quite a few films at the LFF over the years, films like Wolf Children, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Summer Wars, all the way up to Mirai, which was his last feature. This one premiered in Cannes, and I got to see this last week. It's a real knockout. He's returning to similar territory for Summer Wars, where he's talking about personal connections in the increasingly interconnected online world, always online world. And this is about a girl who joins an online social platform, virtual reality portal called You, which using biometric data creates a idealized version of your true inner self. And she's a nerdy girl, or a very anxious girl in real life, but on the platform she is the world's next great pop superstar, who becomes known as Belle. It's really something, and considering that it has these smaller scale interpersonal levels and then this huge hulking complex, convoluted discourse around the online world today, it lands in a very emotional way, and I'm sure fans of Hosoda's films will know that he's very good at doing that. But that's Belle. I'd really strongly recommend that. It's also coming out in January, so even though that's not part of the UK-wide part of the LFF, it's something that we will see pretty soon. Any other shout-outs from you, Hannah?
Yeah, I would like to recommend this film, Hit the Road. Again, I'm recommending everything from Cannes, but that is my kind of reference point for the year, because that's where I saw lots of this stuff. But yeah, Hit the Road. So it is Panahi? I believe it's pronounced Son of Jafar. Obviously, you know, kind of hugely influential filmmaker, which I didn't realise at the time, but afterwards I was like, oh, okay, I see. not to diminish his achievement, because it's a really amazing debut. It's this road movie about a boy, very, very charming, very cheeky, about 4 or 5 year old, and his family, who are going on this road trip with their dog, great dog. And you get the sense very quickly something is off, and it kind of quickly you realize kind of what's going on, that the kid himself doesn't necessarily understand, and it's very sad but also very funny. And I was just really kind of surprised by it. It played in director's fortnight, and I think again it was every year there's films that play in the Cannes sidebars, which are kind of, you hear more and more, there's like buzz at the festival, and you kind of have to go and make an effort to go and see it. And I think it was actually the last thing I saw at Cannes, and yeah, highly recommend. Really kind of touching but deeply funny and tragic story, and something a bit different, I think, from maybe some of the other films that we've talked about so far. And one that I can't personally recommend it, but I know that Adam of Little White Lies can definitely recommend it, is Terence Davies' Benediction, which I'm going to be seeing at the festival. I'm so excited for it. Big fan of Terence, and this is his kind of long-anticipated biopic of Siegfried Sassoon, the famous war poet. And yeah, Adam kind of gave it a glowing review out of San Sebastian, where it premiered, and it just seems like a very, I keep saying the word touching, but, you know, what else can you really say about a biopic of Siegfried Sassoon? Yeah, he said it's really great, and weirdly, he was like, oh yeah, it makes quite a compelling argument for Jack Loudon as Bond. So I'm definitely, ooh, yeah, definitely kind of interested to see it. I think maybe it's just the shot of him in a tuxedo, but we shall see.
Well, but Adam did go quite hard for Jack Loudon in last week's episode, where he outed himself as quite a Bond guy. So if that's his recommendation, let's go for it.
Oh, that's where it all stemmed from.
And that's probably a good point to say that, you know, so many of the films in the LFF programme, what's great about the LFF is that it does play as a greatest hits package of festival films from throughout the year. So we do have lots of reviews up on the site to help guide your ticket buying process. Hannah, I know that we also had like a thread on Twitter of many of the reviews as well, of films that are premiering, yeah, or screening in the festival.
We'll be keeping doing that as well throughout the festival. And if people want any recommendations, feel free to add us. We're more than happy to kind of, earlier in the year, well, last year, we did a kind of mail order film recommendations thing. If you tell us your mood, we'll try and match you to an LFF film. Yeah, oh, that would be quite sweet.
What a wonderful service to give. And of course, we will be back with more podcasts as well as the festival goes on, with gossip and takes and other sorts of bits and tidbits from our festival going experience. I'll be checking in with David Jenkins, head honcho of Little White Lies, later this week. So look out for that episode in your podcast feeds. Hannah, thank you for joining me today and sharing some of your recommendations from the London Film Festival. And listeners, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.